download from Triple J.
For more music, current affairs, comedy and culture, triplej.net.au.
And now...
Triple J.
Triple J.
Triple J.
Triple J Mornings with Zan.
I was getting a bit into the kind of aggressively psychedelic thing, like butthole surfers and stuff, kind of intimidatingly freaky, except, of course, we're such flaky little boys that it doesn't turn out anywhere near as badass as them, but I think that's kind of what was in my head for a little bit of it.
You do have a very big sound, though, for, as you say yourself, slender boys, slip of a boy, even if I'd say. There's a big sound on this record that would betray, you know, the physicality of Pond. You've made it sound huge.
Inside, we're pretty much mastodon.
I think because we can't help, especially Joe, but me as well, we can't help but make it sound like ELO or something. I don't think we really listen to any kind of macho rock music anymore. I think this is probably the last like rock, macho rock thing we do. To get the like the juju or the like spirit right, we do it really quick. Like we did it in like 3 days, you know, other than a few the overdubs, and then so we rush it and do it like, and all the takes are first takes, and then I spend like 6 months being paranoid that like we could have done stuff differently.
But what does that mean for the actual capturing of it? The moment, do you feel like you're under the same pressure that you are when you're on stage? You need to deliver, and that energy comes out when you, you know, in a very different environment when you're in the studio.
It's just more that it's essential for us that it sounds kind of rogue, but like good rogue, you know, because that's kind of our main appeal to ourselves, is that like rogueness, you know? I mean, I don't think we'd bother making kind of like rock music or rock and roll or whatever if it wasn't kind of rogue, like the Stooges or something, you know? I don't think we see any point in making kind of like tailored rock music.
Well, that's kind of the origins of Pond, isn't it, Nick? I mean, the reason that you guys all got together was to play whatever you want, a collective of people doing whatever you want. Do you think that with that in mind, the intentions of what is a song is very different to in other bands that you've played with?
I'm not sure. Hey, it's the whole doing whatever we want thing. We're sort of really unfocused brains will be, you know, obsessed with, you know, death metal for a couple of days and then just all about Prince the next or something. So, like, you know, any kind of ambition of any description doesn't really make any sense.
We try so hard to make it focused. But I read a review of this one that said it was really unfocused. I was like, we tried so hard.
Lyrically on Hobo Rocket, there's a few nods to gods and deities. There's unicorns thrown in there as well. Do you think that the lyrics are kind of key to the world of music that you're making as well, to that kind of other world sonically that you're going into?
I suppose before a lot of Pond's lyrics has just been sort of whimsical nonsense.
I don't think there's any unicorns. That's pretty whimsical.
Oh, no, that's bloody, that's Cowboy John.
Oh, yeah. No, he doesn't say unicorn. Oh, yeah, he does. Horse with wings or something.
That's a unicorn, isn't it?
Yeah, no, we can't...
I'm sorry, but I'm going to sound like a nerd, but no, that's a Pegasus.
That's
You're right. You're absolutely right. It's a Pegasus. It is not a unicorn.
We can't account for Cowboy John's lyrics.
That leads me to my next question. Who is Cowboy John? There's an incredible song that's kind of sung spoke on the record, which is the title track.
That was just like, Joe had been writing all these songs for his solo album, and we were like, can we have a really good song for Pong? And then he just went home and wrote just this instrumental thing in like an hour. And we were like, this isn't a song, this just sounds like the Beatles or something. And then so we're going to put it, it was still cool, and we were going to put it on instrumental, and we decided it might be a bit boring. So then we were going to get some spoken word on it, or Nick to read a story. And then we found Cowboy John at the mastering guy's place. He's been like crashing on the couch there for like 20 years. He's crazy. He's fully crazy.
Is he someone that you've known for a long time?
He's just a general personality and presence around Perth.
He's a personality.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. He just sort of, comes out of the mist when you least expect it and says some loony.
I wouldn't call him a hobo, but he's definitely like a wanderer. Like, yeah. I don't think he has a fixed address.
No, he's a troubadour.
Yeah.
Did you know what he was going to do when he came into the studio and sang over this piece of music that Joe had done?
Well, we thought we were sort of trying to get him to read this story at first, and he was just looking at us like we were aliens or something. He didn't know what.
he's been making this album at this place. Rob's been paying for it for like since the 80s, you know.
So we just let him kind of say whatever he wanted.
And towards the end of the song, it sounds like he's kind of taking the reins and telling you guys what's what at the very end of the song.
Oh yeah, that's genius. Yeah, that's, he's talking to Rob. Rob's like, because all studio guys want to have more than one take, of course, to like get the best thing. And he's trying to tell him to do it again or try it again. And we're just in the control room, like, laughing and high-fiving each other. And he's like, no, we're only going to do it once. I'm a professional. I'm a professional. It only happens once.
Hold on, is that good? Get him in here. It's only 2.5 minutes. No, I'm not rehearsing. No, we're not rehearsing. But maybe I'll do it professional and it only happens once. We get Nick in here, please.
Yeah, okay.
Nick.